Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we have so many podcasts we're doing here at Built North America. But I had to have my buddy Phil Reed come back in the middle of all this stuff, and I had to give credit to Phil, who he is the man, the myth, the legend of why I'm here with a lot of this stuff. And after this recording, we're going to go out and thanks to Phil, who put together this panel that he's going to have me facilitate that's titled Successful Investment Strategies for Employees and Entrepreneurs. And we had many great conversations leading up to this, and this all kind of stemmed from the podcast back on show 137 that was titled Don't Go to College to Become an Architect. And it's one of our top-rated podcasts that I reference over and over, and it's the lessons from Phil about what companies should you invest in and why. And Phil is very thoughtful about that. And the whole thing, it's about, you know, how do we learn and grow together? And as this conference with Built North America, that's what it's all about. It's these people that are back before Autodesk owned Revit and these tools that have evolved. And as I'm sitting here, the company that Phil introduced me to that we've done a ton of really cool work with is Enscape. And that company, Enscape, I got to know and become a friend with Moritz Luck. And Moritz Luck is the founder of that company that back on show 157 was titled How a Video Game Became Architect's Most Powerful Tool. And Phil was the one that helped Moritz kind of begin with the end in mind. And I met Phil where he at Built in 2019. It was, I guess, Phil, here's where I'm going to bring you in, because I can't remember the name of the museum in Seattle.
Children's Museum. Oh, no.
No.
2019?
2019, it was this Matt McMullen, my executive director, is going to, he's like, because it's like super, super cool building, and it's like the hall of like music, like there's all this, the
2019, you're talking about
in
Seattle. You're talking in Seattle? That was the museum that was financed by Paul Allen. See, I don't even remember what the name of the museum is. Like, oh, the guy from Microsoft. It was a museum, the Pop Museum.
The Pop Museum, yes.
Yeah.
And you had a special event when you were kind of the voice, like helping move Enscape along. And you've been a voice for many of these really cool companies, and now you have your company, Reed Thomas.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go do this panel. But before the panel, I wanted to make this special podcast and kind of go version 2 with Devin and Phil, and then we're going to go do version 3 from show 137. Just like at this show, there's these global and timeless fireside chats, but these moments in time where I had the pleasure of recording our third episode with Ellen Bensky of Turner Fleischer at this conference, that the first and seconds were tied around Enscape. And I tell you that, Tribe, is that we don't have enough time and money to listen and do all this stuff ourselves. So we have to be able to have people that can take and grab and pull stuff to help each other and learn and grow. But money is money, and we have to understand that, right, and have successful investments.
Yep.
So let's do the speed round, Phil. If you didn't listen to show 137, we're going to fire through this, and then we're going to kind of talk through a little bit of a teaser about successful investments and then something you do to just, of all this chaos, that you do to just totally unwind. And we're going to talk with the Art of Construction Tribe about that. So, Phil, what's your favorite beverage?
Gin and tonic, Roku gin and tonic with grapefruit.
All right. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Singapore.
Ooh, give us one story from that.
Singapore's amazing. Go to read about Lee Kuan Yew, the founder of Singapore. And Singapore, I think, is an interesting political environment because it is a benevolent corporation. So imagine you could work for the most amazing company that really cared about you and wanted you to be highly, highly educated and would allow you to become, I think, in a way, the most potential of you as a human. Singapore is an amazing country. It's very, I mean, it has some strict pieces as well. But if you go back and look at the interviews with Lee Kuan Yew and Charlie Rose and Harvard Business School, Harvard Leadership School, you'll learn something pretty interesting. So, sorry.
And what do you like to do outside of the AAC arena?
Play guitar.
That's two podcasts in a row with guitar. We just did Kelly Cohn, and he's music and guitar too.
It is meditative. I've been trying and learning Travis style finger picking, and it's 10 minutes of that will put you in a quiet place. It's good.
Awesome. Well, Phil, I want to just pause and say, like, thank you for all that you've done for this industry and in mentoring people like me that you see and say, hey, I want to help you get where you want to go with this thing. And, like, pushing hard, but also, like, pausing, right, and thinking about that. So what is your story that led you to founding Reed Thomas?
Well, I was fortunate. I went to architecture school after having gone to seminary, after having lived in New Zealand, and I didn't borrow money to go to architecture school. So when Revit came around in the spring of 2000, I could take a chance. And I ended up joining the consulting group, and next thing found myself traveling around the world, teaching people to start to use Revit. You know, this was the spring of 2001. And there's a challenge when you're teaching someone, you think you're teaching them how to use technology, but you're really trying to ask them to change behavior. You're really asking them to change their behavior. People do things one way and want them to do another. And I think you really have to have people's self-interest in mind when you do that. You can't manipulate people. Ultimately, they'll, you know, the jig will be up and they'll realize it's not in their interest. So I learned a lot in the process of training and working with people. And you also get to meet people from interesting places and you get to hear the backstories. And, but it was the challenge in working with a large company and training people and consulting is that it's always a matter of scale. You can only train really large companies because that's the machine that feeds the machine. And so when Adam and I got together, the idea was how can we scale this down to where we could work with an amazing architect of one and do it on time, on budget, politely, give them a really good customer experience. And so that's when we started Reed Thomas in July of 2013. The idea was we're going to scale down where we can work with companies of one and then scale up from there. You know, 20 years ago, you couldn't put Revit in the cloud. You couldn't really... And just data transfers would take a long time, but that had changed a lot in 10 years. And then, so it turns out that working remotely with people in what we describe as a lawyerly way, in the terms of if you ever had to work with a lawyer, they put a retainer into account and they bill against a retainer, and that's what we do. So we scaled where we can work with very large contractors down to FAIA architects that don't have the time or, you know, time or interest in building family components. So the way we scale it is we've worked on the historic reconstruction of the Laura Wilder farmhouse, and we've worked on football stadiums. So, yeah. So, and you learn a lot of things. You meet interesting people, and that's the good part.
And since our last podcast, you've been at this for a while. Like, what are some of the big changes that you've seen of running a consulting company, helping the AEC, really in a lot of construction tech and getting the catch-all? If you go back to the podcast I just released, just did with Kelly about the buzzwords of construction.
Oh, yeah. So they're announcing digital triplets this year. So that's the new thing.
Yeah, it's
digital twins is yesterday.
And now it's like
digital
octuplets.
Yeah. You know, I think the fundamentals really don't change. You're trying to deal with people that are in very high stress and often low control positions. It's the worst of the worst, right? You could be low stress, low control, but that's fine. You take your apron off, put it, you know, next to the grill, and tomorrow you come in at 9 o'clock and start over. If you're in a high stress but high control position, you're still getting a lot done. You know, a general on the battlefield, he's in a very high stress but high control position. If you're in a high stress and low control, it's terrible. So the contractors, architects, people that design and build buildings are in very high stress, low control situations. So what we try to do is ultimately is take away people's stress, give them applied experience. Past experience is the best marketing you could have. So if you give them applied experience and you have to build trusted relationships. If you can't work with people that So one of the things that Adam and I laugh about is we've had to realize that there's a Venn diagram of people that you love and people that you can depend on, and they don't have to be the same person. So sometimes in business, you just have to realize, hey, I like this guy, but I can't depend on him because we have budget, you know, we have deadlines to meet for people that have deadlines to meet. So sometimes you have to be selective about, you know, who you ultimately work with and trust. But as you narrow it down and work with people that you can depend on more, you know, the machine just, it runs itself after a while. It's really great. So that's what we've learned.
And one thing I'm a big fan of, and we'll put links to the show notes, if you're involved with tools like Enscape, well, I guess specifically Enscape, you send out an article that kind of just talks through updates because you're very heavily involved and been a big champion of Enscape for many years, right?
Yeah, I like Enscape because, so I think the thing is, it's how soon do you want to know something or how soon do you want to understand something? And you can suspend what you think is the design in your head as you work on it. But if you want I think Revit's really good at giving you actual analytic factual information, plan sections, elevations, schedules, you know, where things are, you know what they are, but it's hard to get an emotional response out of it. And I think both of those are really important. I would liken one to sheet music and one to actually hearing the composition. And Revit is the sheet music. You know where the notes are, you know what the timing is, but the customer is always in this position of, well, can you show me what it sounds like? Let me hear it. I want to see what it sounds like. And if I think you want to be in a business position where ultimately you're giving your customer a really polite experience and maybe surprising them in a good way. And for me, when I first saw Enscape, when I first heard about it, I thought it wouldn't exist. You wouldn't make this for the AC space. We're too small. You would make it for the medical space or the aerospace industry. And I was so kind of joyfully surprised. And so I think ultimately what we want to do is take that stress away. Enscape takes the stress away from the ambiguity of what you're designing. You can see and feel an emotional response. You know, the lighting is important. The reflections are important. And then instead of being surprised by the design being not what you intended, you can be surprised by moments and places in the design that you can accentuate that you didn't expect, but it helps you discover those things. I don't know any tool like Enscape in that sense. I mean, there's lots of tools that render the product or your project in real time, but the process is so different. And the immediacy of Enscape, here's the thing. Where Enscape made a beautifully accidental decision is all of the other companies in the world that were trying to create tools for people that render, Enscape created a tool for people that don't render. And all those people that don't render are so happy to use Enscape. They're not gurus. They just do what they normally do and have this beautiful byproduct.
I'm raising my hand because that was Enscape is one of the things that took the podcast to being an architectural supply company, because as an informational entrepreneur, I'm just like pulling all these cool stuff, and that turned into being able to projects to come to life and actually help them become not build with a D, but built with a T. And that's what we call system built living, that we're working hard, all of us on the Art of Construction tribe, to where to actually see better buildings get built, but you have to envision them first. And that's a big step that I think Enscape does a wonderful job. And in fact, we've done a lot of work with Enscape over the years to where I've seen it does such a good job. People think now the project's ready to be built with a T for system built, and it's still so early on in the actual approval process, if you will, to be have them be true construction documents. And I think that's kind of the next iteration that you and I have become friends through you. I've become friends with Moritz Luck, that these people that now that he's, you know, sold Enscape, trying to figure out what is the next best thing to solve. And so that's as we speed up. Sometimes you have to SFTD, you have to slow the down. And so I want you to talk through of like all the ups and downs where, tell me about what you do about your special little slow down retreat.
Yeah. So, you know, for those of you who are a little older, I'll be 57 this year. And what I started noticing around the time I was 50, high stress, high control. Architecture a lot of times is high stress, low control. And for the last two decades, I've been surrounded by subject matter experts. We are really good at technology, and we will grind away and in all of our spare time to figure out that little nugget of feature or function in order to solve a problem. And we're really good at that. And after a decade or so, company recognizes you and said, oh, we could use that kind of leadership here. We want you to come in and start managing teams. And technology is stressful, but it's predictable. And people are stressful, but not predictable. And so what I started observing in myself and then in others is that managing people was unpredictable and very stressful. I didn't have any skills at managing people. And in the technology space, I know if I do certain things in certain workflows, it's predictable. I can control the predictableness of that technology space and not with people that you manage. And so 3 years ago, at the start of the pandemic, said, okay, I need to have better skills at how do I slow down, not react, respond. I now have, three children. This year, they'll be 20, 22, and 24. Teenagers are, trial by fire stress. And so as a dad, as a business owner, as a someone that works in the AEC space, how do I slow down and learn how to respond and not react to things and not believe that I can actually control things? And so what I've learned, I've known Wes's brother, Randy Ben, for a long time. He's a degree in psychology from Duke. He has his law degree from Duke, and he has a leadership degree from Georgetown. And Randy's been a good mentor. He's someone that you can talk to, and he's thoughtful. He's not judgmental, but he's just thoughtful. He doesn't offer advice for free. And I said, I think I need to have these better skills of really slowing down and being present and learning how to let go of what I can't control. And he's like, oh, well, what would you do? And I said, I would not have a hotel in a big city. I want to go outside. I want to be in a quiet place. I want to be surrounded by nature. And he like, I'm in. How do we do this? So that was the first year of the AEC leadership retreat, because I think having people of the same kind of stresses and life experiences is a good starting point. We have similar Venn diagrams. And so we went to the same church camp that I went to as a kid in North Florida, sort of central North Florida. It's about 30 minutes east of Gainesville. And the camp director there is the same guy who was the director when I was a kid. He's back now and he's in the 70s. And I said, what if we just rent this camp out in September? And he gave me a price for that. And I said, well, we don't have to charge people. We could just invite some friends and family, people in the AEC space. And so the first year we didn't charge anything. We just invited people and said, don't worry about it. And it's all about presence and mindfulness and empathy and how you show up and having a sense of purpose and trying to turn off the cell phone and the laptop for a little bit. And just really focus on sense of purpose. This year, well, and here's why. We also get to a point in our career where we might be fortunate and really successful, and you've invested properly and the kids are off on the right foot and things are going well, and you still are grinding away 80 hours a week. It is so hard to turn off the muscle memory. And so I think it's an opportunity for people to slow down and just kind of connect, right? And it's a gift to people. They really enjoy it. We've done it so that it's not expensive. People that have had hard times during the pandemic, they've been unemployed, they've paid for it themselves. So that's what we're doing. It's the week of September 25th this year.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure to put links to the show notes. So as we're closing this one out, that this is kind of in between, the last thing I want you to talk through is kind of give us the synopsis for as we stop hitting record here. You and I are going to go up and we're going to be running a live panel with an audience. And this is kind of a evolution that you and I did at the last Built conference. But this one is titled Successful Investment Strategies for Employees and Entrepreneurs. And what's super cool is I get to interview or facilitate this panel through three other people with me who have all been on the podcast. In fact, Alice Luing's podcast is getting released today with Moritz and the podcast we've done with you. But kind of talk through and dangle the carrots so everyone's going to go listen to this next podcast, which is going to be around this panel that we're going to go to do live next.
Okay, so for myself, I'm looking at it. I was fortunate because I was a equity shareholder in, you know, the Revit acquisition, and I've invested that as best I think I could have. So from an investment strategy and an individual, I'm going to have some experiences to share. Alice, I think the reason I wanted to have Alice in it is because she is looking at investing from the standpoint of a startup. She has investment capital as part of brick and mortar. And what kind of characteristics is she looking for in a company in order to invest? And not just with regard to technology, but with regard to leadership. What are the characteristics she's looking for? And then with Moritz, you know, Enscape has been wonderfully successful. And Moritz and I chat frequently. And what I want to understand from Moritz is, once you found success, how do you maintain sense of purpose? I think it's really hard. Like, you can't just wing it. You have to find a sense of purpose. If you didn't have to work tomorrow, if you won the lottery, what would you do?
100%. And what's been, Moritz has been such a big fan of mine because I learned so much with my conversations with Moritz. But he's a lifelong learner. Like, he's now not day-to-day responsible for Enscape, but now he's even digging deeper. And I'm super excited to take lessons learned. But this is, like, live right in front of us. And what a cool opportunity, right?
We get to watch Moritz in real time. The thing is, when you've had, you know, when you've been successful, how do you find that sense of purpose? And I think the stress of Enscape is not going to compare to the stress of ambiguity. Because with Enscape, you knew what you had to do. You just had to execute in the best way possible. But after success comes, what do you do to maintain sense of purpose? And I think everyone should really prepare for that. Because as you get older, and as you, if you work hard and your businesses are successful, you have to maintain sense of purpose.
100%. Yeah, and Alice's podcast, episode 266, titled Funding the Disruptors, that's exactly what Moritz did. But if you go back and listen to Moritz's podcast, How a Video Game Became Architect's Most Powerful Tool, it wasn't that the first iteration was just it and it was successful. Like, you had to pivot and pop.
No, there was
failure.
And
I had lunch with Moritz and an executive from Autodesk, and listening to the inquisitive questions about, as lifelong learners, of like how we continue to move this industry forward. Like, what a great time to be in construction. But you have to be very, very keen and inquisitive on the questions, because when I sit and go to these specialty conferences like that, people think they have so many great new ideas. But then you come to one of these specialty conferences, and it's like, they tried that 10 times 20 years ago.
So the ideas are cheap. I tell you, if you don't have a good team, your ideas don't go anywhere. People don't want to share. Oh, I won't tell you my idea until you sign this NDA. I'm like, no, you don't understand. The idea is amazing. Maybe it's not amazing. But how are you going to market it? How are you going to engineer it? How are you going to support it? How are you going to... There's so much other to the infrastructure of building a successful company or a successful idea. Otherwise, you just become a mad wizard and you're just a person of one trying to make some technology that no one buys because they can't trust the system. You go to the companies and like, oh yeah, it's amazing technology, but you're one guy and we're going to ask people to change behavior to learn this, and who's going to support it, and what happens if you get hit by a bus? That's an enormous, the scale is more complex than the technology. How do you scale a successful business?
100%. And the first word of your title for this is success. And what does success mean to you?
Yeah.
Like, so it's an important word of like, what does success mean? How do you become successful? And that's what we're going to talk about, because you have to invest and you have to have the right strategy and you can't do it yourself. So that's why it's for employees. But then you put the word entrepreneur at the end, because a lot of us are all serial entrepreneurs with so many ideas just churning and turning.
Well, I think we have to, because you can't just have one gig and then think that's going to pay your bills. You have to hustle something on the side. But I think to give a teaser for this discussion that we're about to have, to me, the definition of success is consistently reducing complexity and the ability to say no. If you can't say no to things and you're obligated beyond your interests, it's hard. It's not good. And if you can't say no, then you're kind of a slave to what you have to do. So I think ultimately investing is really about putting yourself in the position, not so that you always say no, but that you can say no. You can say no to the things that aren't interesting so that you can say yes to the very strategic things that are really curious to you. That's why you invest.
Well, Phil, we're almost out of time here. We got to shut the computer off and head up to the next one to get in front of our live audience and challenge Moritz and Alice and the team. And Phil, just thank you so much for all you've done for the industry and with the Art of Construction. You've been one of our super fans, and we've been one of yours the whole way through. What is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates of the Art of Construction Tribe to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business and make sure that they go listen to the next podcast, which is the output of this conversation we're about to go have?
I think the most important thing is find people that you can depend on.
Awesome. Well, let's go get those that depend on us and help depend on them. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Brian.